From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. It's good to have you listening in today as once again we let the Bible speak as we study the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look into Luke's Gospel chapter 4, see Christ in the city of Nazareth. We have thought of His revelation of Himself there, and today we will finish up the study as we see the rejection of Christ by the Nazarenes. First, however, our hot topic, our daily commentary for today, the subject, heavy baggage. Referring to some Republican hopefuls for their party's nomination to run for president in 2008, a magazine article looked into some of the things that may derail their campaigns. I found its title arresting. The Baggage They Carry. That set me thinking. Every political candidate carries with him the baggage of what he has said or done in the past. Long forgotten words and positions come back to haunt him. Opponents will drag up any inconvenient fact from the distant past to embarrass the candidate or force him out of the race. Or his positions on certain issues may be unpopular, and they are baggage that he could well do without. That's why you'll see other candidates do what Mitt Romney has done on a few occasions, do an about turn, flip-flop on an issue such as abortion and the agenda of the sodomite lobby. But not only politicians carry baggage, we all do. Unsaved people carry the baggage of unforgiven sin. Every word and action adds weight to the baggage and shuts off the way to heaven. Even Christians carry baggage. Often they carry with them the memories of their past life, and they debilitate them. They often become depressed, lacking assurance and joy, and stagger from one doubt or crisis to another. Politicians would love to be able to shed their baggage, but they can't. However, the good news of the gospel is, in the words of a beautiful old hymn, "Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are heavy and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." What a message for burdened souls, saved or unsaved. The invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ still pulsates with the love and power of God. Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You can leave whatever baggage you may be carrying at the cross. In the words of another hymn, "Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there."
Whom is on the Lord's side, who will serve our King? Who will be His helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? By Thy call of mercy, by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are Thine. Jesus, Thou hast bought us not with gold or gem, but with Thine own filling each who comes to Thee. Thou hast made us willing, Thou hast made us free. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes a triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by Thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are Thine.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found Him in His Word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer.
Before Thy throne we sinners bend.
Turn one more time to think of Christ revealing himself to the Nazarenes and their rejection of him. In his revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of himself, giving his true identity, revealing his gracious mission, and his complete sovereignty. I pointed out yesterday that's what got the Nazarenes so very, very riled up against him. Then he revealed his ultimate purpose. And that's where we're going to break into the message today, leading to his unconquerable authority. That's the revelation. And as we finish out, it will be against that background of such a glorious, gracious revelation that the Lord Jesus suffered a rejection at the hands of the men and women of Nazareth. So let's turn to God's word, picking up the message where we summarize Christ's ultimate purpose.
The Lord Jesus on this occasion was making it clear that he was presenting himself as the Savior of the world, anticipating Paul's great statement in Ephesians 1 verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's the ultimate. To reach out to the world and to bring it to Jesus Christ. That's his ultimate purpose. And in revealing that purpose, he then showed his ultimate power and authority, his unconquerable authority. How does he do this? Well, notice clearly, the Nazarenes sought to slay him, and they couldn't. It wasn't because they didn't want to. It wasn't because the means weren't readily available. I've said the steep face was there. Falling 70 or 100 feet there would be a fatal fall. The means were there. The desire was there. The crowd was there. Yet they couldn't do it. Now, it could have been because of a miracle. We're not told. Could simply have been the exercise of the moral superiority of Christ. It could simply have been by a look. I don't know. But I do know that by his sheer personal authority, the Lord Jesus made a way through them just as surely as God made a way through the Red Sea for the children of Israel. He's made a way through. I like to think of the power of Christ, the authority of Christ there. We get so wrapped up with the thought of the bigness of man, the power of the world. We get so overwhelmed at the thought of the forces that are against us. Listen, it only takes a look. I'm not even told here that the Lord Jesus raised a finger, said a word. I don't know. But I do know that possibly with no more than a glance, He quieted them and he made a way through. Oh, that we could get a sight of Christ this morning. Christ the Savior, Christ the Anointed, Christ who can bring the glad tidings to the poor, Christ who can heal the broken heart, Christ who can give recovering of sight to blind eyes, Christ who can set at liberty the captives and the oppressed, Christ who can bring you into acceptance with God to live in the favor of His grace. This is the revelation that Jesus gave of Himself. I have just a moment to deal with the rejection that He suffered at Nazareth. When you think of all that I've said, this is what they willfully rejected. And there's a classic example of all Christ's rejection. I'm not going to follow these points through, but think of them. Christ's rejection means they despised His person. He said, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Anointed. I am God's Anointed One. God has poured out His Spirit upon me. God has spoken from heaven. But they despised His person. They said, give us a miracle. Give us a sign. But we don't want your person. They rejected His claims. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. They rejected His claims. And they denied His grace. Were there no poor, brokenhearted, blind, oppressed captives there in Nazareth? Surely there were. And yet there they were with the crowd, and they were denying the very grace that only could save them. That's the heart of Christ's rejection. I want this. I want that. I want the other thing. I set this stipulation in God. I put the other stipulation in God. Whereas the reality is, they deny God's grace in Christ. They despise His person, reject His claims, deny His grace. And that's the high road to hell. Got to ask yourself, why on earth would they do it? Why would they do it? Spurgeon might have been right when he thought that perhaps they did not really accept his portrayal of their true condition. They didn't want to think of themselves as poor, blind, captives of sin. One of the great reasons why people don't receive the Lord Jesus is because they don't accept their true condition. I think that they were certainly resentful of His lowly condition in life. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is he not one of that poor and ordinary family? Now the Jews certainly ought not to have been thinking in those terms. The Jews were well used to God taking the poor and the obscure and making them great. Was not Amos a mere herdsman, neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet? Was not David an obscure shepherd boy? And yet God made him into Israel's great king. The Jews knew better. But the fact is that they despised the Lord Jesus. They wanted a Christ of their own making. A Savior. But not the kind of Savior that the Lord Jesus was. They wanted grace, but not sovereign grace. They wanted God to work on the terms that they were laying down. They were not willing to accept Jesus Christ on the terms that God was setting forth to them in the gospel. And I want to tell you, that is the heart of Christ's rejection. What is it to receive Christ? It is to take Him for what He is, who He is. It is to take Him on the terms that are laid down in the gospel. It is to set aside the sovereignty, the boasted, non-existent sovereignty of human will, and to embrace the absolute sovereignty of the divine will. It is to take him. Now the awful thing is, if you'd gone to these Nazarenes, that next Sabbath, you'd have found them all in the synagogue. You'd have found them saying the prayers. I was reading some of those prayers that were prayed anciently in the synagogue. I was reading them this morning just in preparation for coming to this place. Some beautiful prayers. And they were praying them. Some words of mighty praise and worship to Jehovah. They were doing that too. They were reading the law. They were reading the prophets. The next Sabbath, they were back in that synagogue in the professed worship of Jehovah. But they had rejected his son. They were still saying, we're looking for God to come and intervene. We're crying to God for mercy. We're crying to God for grace. We're crying to God for a saving deliverance. But they rejected his son. Men and women, let me tell you, the way of holiness is as plain and simple. Isaiah tells us that the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. There's nothing particularly difficult in understanding what the Lord Jesus said in Nazareth that day. What part of this could they or could you not understand? This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What part of that can you not understand? I am the Lord's anointed. This is what I do for souls. But they rejected him. John tells us, not just of this occasion, but it's certainly applicable to it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the rejection. Thank God, he goes on to say, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today and bring every last man, woman, and child among us out of a crass, proud, sinful rejection of Christ to bow before him and to own him as Thomas did, my Lord and my God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless now the word and those who have heard it. See if men and women and boys and girls hear from the folly of the Nazarenes in flying in the face of God, despising thy son, rejecting his claims and denying his grace. Lord, see if men and women and boys and girls from rejecting the Lord Jesus, hiding behind a cloak of religion of so much that they believe and so much that they're praying for and looking for, but all the time rejecting Christ. God, have mercy on sinners, we pray. And God, grant that this day there will be that gracious ministry of the Savior, opening eyes, liberating hearts and souls, and bringing the lost to Christ. Give us who are saved the grace to go out as witnesses for the Savior. Thou didst anoint him to preach the glad tidings. Lord, thou hast told us through Paul that we also are anointed in Christ And we pray that Thou wilt give us grace to be faithful witnesses of those glad tidings, to preach Christ to the nations. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.